It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh**. It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better, and I promise you this is true, better than being a transgender neo-Nazi. I promise you we are better than that. You can join our chat room, The Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. Also, as many of the kids do, and they've been doing it for over a year now, you can watch us on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. I am your host, Davin Roseblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Hi, how's it going?
It is going well, thank you. And Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
Not going to get into it again, Joe, but we were doing a little bit on the pre-show. But Pip was live one in a row. One in a row, Pip was live. So we will attempt a new streak next week. We will see what we have in store. We'll see what the Vegas odds are of Pip dragging that translucent carcass to my house. We'll see what happens. All right. On the show, the aforementioned transgender neo-Nazi avoids jail time because he had a hard knock life. That booty call can give you certain legal protections. Bet you didn't know how good that booty call could be for you. Your legal standing. School of Fools. As a school in North Carolina says, students who remote learn this year can't attend the prom. Students in Texas trade their black classmates like their baseball cards. You want to get that Gem Mint 10 African American card, but you don't want the one with the bad hair, according to what they were doing. Don't hate on me. I'm just reporting the news. Drunks in the News will tell you how to impress your new neighbors. We'll tell you how to make new friends. And scamming scammers, fake Davin and Carolyn had an awful Valentine's Day. Just did not go the way Carolyn was hoping for, and she was about ready to write fake Davin off. As a matter of fact, Joe believes that it is a sayonara to fake Davin. So we will see if we have a new scammer to deal with, or if fake Davin has yet one more card up his sleeve and could prolong this madness. You'll have to tune in for that. But we will start with this. This weekend, I did something I have not done in over a year. Does anybody know what that is?
Play softball.
No, I did that a couple weeks ago. I've been playing. But thank you, Joe. Good guess.
Worn an Aerosmith t-shirt.
No. That is absolutely incorrect. You can never go wrong with wearing an Aerosmith t-shirt. It is the highest signature of class and money, wearing an Aerosmith t-shirt. No.
Barbecue?
No, I don't have a grill. I told you. One of the winter storms bitch slapped my grill. That was the end of that. You know, I was going to get a grill. BJ's had a good deal, but my wife did not like the way it was made. So the search for a grill continues. And it's the same brand we had before, and BJ's had like $100 off on this one. She's like, feels kind of flimsy. Not feeling it. And I don't really feel like getting a Weber one for $500 or $600. So we'll continue the search. Maybe this weekend I will find.
They were $500 to $600 when I was selling them, and that was over 30 years ago.
Well, they've maintained their value, but they have not gone up in value, Joe. But yeah.
Well, do you want to take a shot at the grill that I have in my backyard?
What do you mean?
Well, the grill, like the lady that we bought the house from when she was moving, she didn't take the grill with her. And it, apparently, long story short, her daughter told me that it had been a Mother's Day present that very same year. And she was kind of perturbed that her mother wasn't taking it, but I was like, oh, we got a new grill. And then when that tree fell in our backyard, it fell on the grill And it kind of moved the lid a little bit, but we haven't touched the thing since. They
hold it, stop. What kind of grill was this? Made out of an Abrams tank? A fucking tree lands on? Oh, it dented the lid a little bit. That's a good grill.
Yeah. No. Well, it was an evergreen tree, like a really big one, like I'm talking Rockefeller Center size tree, and it, yeah, I know. And this was about 10 years ago or so, and during this huge storm, you know, they're shallow rooted, and it fell over on the back of our house, and so the top of it, the brunt of it was the roof,
yeah.
But a branch, a lower branch that was still quite heavy, El Cabon, the barbecue lid. And when the adjuster came, he saw that, and so he wrote off the barbecue. But we still have it sitting back there. We're, like, afraid to do anything with it.
Why?
Don't use it.
Why wouldn't you try to either throw it away or use it? What is wrong with you? It's been, like, a decade.
I know. Well, this is how we roll. We're just like, okay. It just sits there as like a problem we don't know what to deal with. So if you would like it, you can have it.
It's not a dead bull elephant where how am I going to get this out of here? It's a barbecue grill. How big is this grill?
It's like your standard size, you know, on little wheels, stand-up grill with a little...
Okay.
I haven't really looked at it in a long time.
Joe, I hate to interrupt this riveting conversation. Joe, is your microphone a little further away because you're showing up low in the mix? And if it is, I want to...
No, I'm fine. It's where I usually am. It's where I am all the time.
Oh, all right. Well, lower Joe volume this week. Yeah, Pip, that's good. Just leave that in the backyard. That's a wonderful thing to do. So, yeah, we got rid of our grill.
I kind of didn't know what to do with it.
You guys are a bunch of animals. I'm going to get a grill. No, I don't want your decade-old grill that's been sitting there waiting for the tornado from the Wizard of Oz to whisk it away. No, but thank you.
I think you can move the thing. I think it would make it through that.
Now, what happened with mine was it because I had I guess I had low propane or no propane in the tank, and the wind said, "Fuck you! You should have changed the propane tank in the fall when you were wrapping shit up." Boom, and the grill went goodbye ski. So I'll get a new grill at some point. So anyway, I did something I have not done in over a year, and you guys have both guessed incorrectly. Very disappointing. I went to the supermarkets. Sans mask. I was maskless.
Really?
Maskless.
Wow.
aren't I the brave soul? The hero, if you will.
Wow. I'm going to feel your forehead.
Why?
I'm glad I didn't come up now.
You stop it.
Traipsing around in public.
Stop it,
sir.
Stop it. For over a year, you've been saying follow the science, and I'm like, no! No, don't be a pussy. Either you follow the science or you don't follow the science.
Thank you for saying that, because basically, you know, the governors having a, we have to follow the science. We have, and the CDC goes, get them vaccinated, you can take the mask off. Fuck you, you know.
but the governors came around. The governors came around. We talked about this last week. The governors came around.
Right.
But you know what? I'll be honest with you. The vast majority of New York people that I came across think like Pip does. They're like, no, we are now from an Asian American culture. We shall always wear the mask. I was one. Maybe there was no others. Once in a while, there was somebody else. Without a mask. But I'm not one of these people that has to go on social media and go, ha-ha, look at me walking around without a mask. Oh, shut up, asshole. It's not that big of a fucking deal. I did it for years.
Yeah.
But I had a mask with me, so if somebody from the store asked me to wear a mask, I wasn't going to fight with the Governor Cuomo and the CDC say we don't have to. If a shopkeep asked me to wear a mask...
But Bill from Produce says you do.
Yeah, well, you know what? If Bill from Produce asked me to wear a mask... I would have worn a mask. It's not a big deal. Most of the places I was in took down the mask signs anyway. So that, I think one place still had it on. But I still walked on in without a mask. And I got to tell you, it was freeing. It was liberating. It was much cooler. It felt so much better. It was. I mean, and nobody said anything to me. I wasn't sidling up to people and go, ha-ha, I'm not wearing a mask. I'm inside your 6 feet. I wasn't doing shit like that. You know, I was still keeping my distance. My wife still wore a mask. And actually, one time she forgot to put it on. She felt terrible about it. And one time she had it on, she overheated. I'm like, see that mask? Because you, when you wear the mask, you get a little hot, a little overheated. And I was very uncomfortable for over a year, but I did it because it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do for my health, and it was the right thing to do for other people's health. But, you know, I got the vaccine. The chances of me getting it at all are extremely low. The chances of anything significant, you know, are low, and I don't think I can transmit it. I mean, the science says it doesn't seem like you can transmit it. I wasn't going near anybody. The one thing I notice I'm still doing, though, is I'm still bringing the hand sanitizer with me. I don't know if I'm going to shake that one. I'm like, you know what? Carrying around a little thing of hand sanitizer is not the worst thing in the world.
No, I keep it in the car. I still use it.
Yeah.
I'm not really comfortable yet. I would rather wear mine.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way. But you know what? I mean, then what was the point of the vaccine? What was the point?
To knock out 95% of the possibility of catching it. But actually, to knock out 95% of not dying from it. But it doesn't mean that you can't catch it. And it's like, the way I catch illnesses, like, I don't get the flu. I get the fucking mega flu.
No, you probably should.
I don't want to have that.
You probably should wear a mask, if not a bubble. But here's the interesting thing about you, Pip. Since we've gotten past the worst part of the scourge of COVID-19, now you're getting sick. You were healthy when you stayed in your little house for like 14 months. Now that everybody's out and about enjoying the fresh air, Pip is once again getting various ailments that nobody else gets. Pip managed to have chest pains and a hurt jaw and a blowjob where it was not involved in any of this. So I don't know what goes on with Pip. So yeah, you probably should wear a mask. But I was happy not to wear a mask. I'm not mocking those who do wear masks. I'm not braver. I'm not tougher.
I think you are.
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. But I'm just saying.
I'm right here.
No, I just said you should wear a mask because you get sick all the time. But I think for the vast majority of people, listen, take your time with it. You got to think about it. It was drilled into our heads that you should wear a mask for over a year. I get it. We, you know, in this area, we saw the refrigerator trucks in New York City, you know, unfortunately with the people that passed away from this. I get it. But I even walked into CVS without a mask. Nobody said anything to me. Like I said, I'm not going up to people and licking them. I'm not being an asshole about it. But I'm living my life. You know, they said get the vaccine. They say, you know, chances are it's going to protect you. And if you do get it, you're probably not going to get sick. So what? So Pip, should I wear like a mask for another 6 months? Is that what you think?
I'm not going to tell you what to do. I just don't feel comfortable doing it myself.
But well, I'm asking you, when will you feel comfortable?
I think probably as more and more people get vaccinated, because there's still like such a percentage of people that are not.
All right.
And I don't believe that the people who are not vaccinated are the ones wearing the masks.
I think a lot of people who are vaccinated, I think most people, listen, I think everybody in New York is still wearing masks. I think I'm the vast minority in it because for the longest time it was drilled in our heads. It's not like Florida where they said fuck you to masks right from the get-go. You know, we have developed a mask culture. I just don't think it's some conspiracy to take away my rights. I thought I looked at it, it was science. So I'm gonna follow the science.
At the day program, if you got your vaccination, you don't have to wear a mask anymore, which is nice, because I get up and down all day long, and it was just a federal case to put that mask on. And for the past 2 weeks, it's nice to get up, and I don't have to put the thing on.
Yeah, and listen.
You know, if I got to do something out in the warehouse, I'll wear it, but for the most part, it's gone. I still wear it in the supermarket. You know why? Because I just don't want to hear people shit. I hear shit all day long. I just want, you know, buy my stuff and go. But there'll be a point maybe in the next week or so where I'm like, fuck this.
Nobody said anything to me. I was kind of waiting. I was kind of waiting for somebody to say something to me. Nobody said anything. But again, I'm not running up to people and sidling up to them. I'm going about doing my business. I'm not posing by the fucking apples. Go, I'm not wearing a mask. What's with all this virtual signaling? I'm not that asshole. I'm just doing my thing. You know, I'm living my life. I'm trying to get back to normal.
It's not like you're trying to make a statement. I just want to go in the store, get my shit and leave without wearing a mask.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it is so weird to see some people on the right go, oh, look at these pussies still wear a mask. Like, why do you fucking care what they're doing? Why do you care? You don't have to wear a mask. You never wanted to wear a mask. Good. Go about your business. And if you're not vaccinated, you're kind of an asshole, unless you have a medical reason not to be vaccinated. Because at this point, everybody in our country, and we are very blessed, everybody in our country 12 and over can get a vaccine. We're very lucky. Here's what's messed up about the United States. We have to create lottery systems, like a lottery. Like, you could win $1 million if you get a vaccine. That's like one of the things Ohio's doing. That's what we're doing. While the rest of the world is begging for the vaccine and can't get it, we have to bribe our stupid citizens to do this. That is so America first world bullshit. It's like, really, man? It's like, this past year has been hell. We were the ass end of the world with dealing with COVID for 19. We're finally ahead of the curve, and you motherfuckers, we have to bribe you with a dinner with, like, Governor Murphy and his wife. What an awful prize that is. But we got to bribe.
Yeah, really. I'd rather have the COVID.
Well, slow down. But it's like, we got to bribe you with donuts and booze and money and everything. We are such a bunch of assholes. You know what?
Yes.
If people don't want the vaccine, then we got to keep on exporting it, giving it to these other countries before variants develop, because that's what's going to happen. You're going to get a variant, and then the vaccine might not work. So we got to wipe this out. But it's just such a first world thing. And at this point, I think it's a personal decision if you've been vaccinated, whether you wear a mask or not. I mean, I know a lot of people felt that this was a personal decision all along. It really wasn't. It was being a good citizen, being caring about your fellow human beings, whether they be your family and your neighbors. But at this point, if you're vaccinated, it's a personal decision if you want to wear a mask or not. If you're like Pip and you have health concerns and you don't want to take it off, that's fine. That's cool. You're not virtue signaling. You're doing what's best for you. My wife wants to wear a mask. You know what? I'm like, well, maybe I should still wear a mask. But I'm like, it felt so freeing. It felt so nice to have my lower half uncovered.
I know. It's like walking around with your drawers down.
Sure. It must be like what happens, like, when these women who have to wear burkas finally, like, get to take off the burka and, like, step in the shower. It's like, oh, I could take off my beekeeper uniform.
No, it's like going out when I didn't, in between supermarket shopping, I would go through any kind of drive-through window there was with my mask. And when I'm going through the drive-through window, I'm wearing my mask, but I'm not wearing my bra. And let me tell you, that's freeing.
But them babies need to breathe.
Listen.
They do need to breathe. Now, I put stuff on for other people. I don't need to wear a bra for me. I don't give a shit. But I'm doing that to preserve the children. I'm saving the children. And so I just don't have to do that if I go through a drive-thru. And it's like, I'll wear a mask every friggin' day if I don't have to wear a bra. That sounds like a great compromise.
First of all, you're not saving the children. There's many hungry children, and those are not working girls. If they were working girls, they'd be saving the children. Those are merely ornamental. So you are doing nothing for the children. You are no hero, okay?
Ornamental.
She's got ornamental breasts. Let's not like fucking build her a statue of tits. She is fed no children. Her breasts have given no children shelter. So her breasts are not heroes. It's going to take a little bit more than that. So slow down.
Take that back. When I'm at the park and it starts raining and the children gather under me, I have provided a service.
We will have to see an Instagram story in order for me to believe that. Until then, I'm sticking by my story. Your breasts have never saved a child in their life.
That's like the worst children's story either. Really, it's time to drink. Come, children. Come, hide under my kid.
I will provide you shelter.
Speaking of luring children.
Blue, the kid got a free brunch as well.
Now I am a subject of an investigation. Thanks, Joe.
What's going on, lady? We're getting batting around with these fucking things. It's the breast situation to be in, kids.
It's a breast arrest. But speaking of luring the children in for no good, I just learned today that my daughter, the car of choice, is like one of those creeper white vans.
Oh, my God.
That's what
she wants. A white van.
She wants to be that guy or girl, I guess. She might have even called it a murder van.
What have you done to them?
Nay, nay. None of this ever happened when I was parenting. Because remember, for years, I was the one who was working for home with my daughter. Ever since COVID, the wife has worked from home. These are new stories. These are new things. This is my wife's fault. This has nothing to do with me. I never heard of anybody wanting a murder van under my stewardship. So you can blame the wife for this shit, okay?
Now I want to get a van and paint murder van on it.
Well, listen, if you paint it, we can wear a mask.
At the day program when I was moving, I borrowed our the red van we had. We called it the rape van. And And after the closing of my house, I go to the bank to deposit the check, and I'm sitting in the van, and I see that there's these like teenage girls getting out a couple of cars ahead, and I'm like, "Money, girls, rape van, stop it! You're for good now.
You're for good now. Oh, rape van, you can't change your ways. Once a rape van, always a rape van. You can't drive the children to special needs class." No. There's no scared straight for rape van.
Yeah. Rape van was trying to change you.
No. Rape van thought it had a kindred spirit.
Yeah.
Come on, Joe. The world is full of thighs that need our skid marks. Let's go.
Oh, man, I'm feeling bad for Rape Van at the moment.
Really? Why, are we slandering Rape Van? Are we besmirching Rape Van's good name? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, it was just an innocent van.
No.
Somebody...
No. It knew where it stuck its tailpipe uninvited. Nay.
We sold. We got another couple of vans. But the funny thing is, you would just, like one of my coworkers. Yeah, I got to move. So I got to buy the rape van this week.
The great thing about the rape van is all the furniture inside is like your old Italian grandmother's house. It's all covered in plastic for easy cleanup.
Yeah. It's like, why does everybody hose it out after they use it? Why?
Yeah.
I wanted one of those vans when I was like a high school kid. But my wife's like, there's no way she's getting like a mattress in there. What do you think she's gonna do? I mean, you don't keep the bodies around long. You get the chainsaw or what the stuff to like make the body disappear. What's that called?
Lie.
I'm glad you guys know, you fucking creeps. Anyway, moving on. Look at audience.
That was like a foot race to get to what gets rid of a body.
I want the audience to take note how quickly Joe and Pip had that ready to go. They were like, "Oh, we know what that is. We don't know a lot of shit, but we know how to dispose of a body." Both them.
Oh, let me tell you something. Wait till she gets the van and she winds up doing favors for all her friends that need a van. Because believe me, when I'd be home Saturday afternoon, my buddy would call up, "Hey, Foot, what's going on?" "Nothing, man, what's happening?" "Hey, can you meet me down at Best Buy so I can pick up my TV and bring it back to the house?" "Of course." "But it's a Saturday afternoon. There's no show. Why would I want to just hang out and relax,
Listen, she can do
exactly.
She can do anything she wants. She just can't solve mysteries in her van. That's my only request. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's always going to be the cranky old man. What's the mystery anymore?
What? What's a mystery?
It's always the cranky old man. What's the mystery?
Oh, okay.
I could have gotten away with it if it wasn't for
you. No. Keep going with it, Pip. Keep going. We were going to transition.
My first car was a van, a 65 Chevy van.
Yeah, look at
back
you.
Back and everything.
Look at you. You're not the epitome of what that guy would be grown up.
It barely ran. It spent most of the time in my driveway broken. My buddy used to go, "Bill Curry's van for display purposes only."
Joe had the original rape van. It raped him in that fucking transaction.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think that people become, and I do too, become so attached attached to their cars that even when they don't work anymore, it's hard to get rid of them. I mean, my brother had a car that he loved so much that even when it wasn't working anymore, he kept thinking that it would, you know, we'd get it fixed or whatever, but it wasn't. It just wasn't happening. But then I think he was finally convinced it's time to let that go when a tree grew through it.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of cars. I had that van, my Oldsmobile Starfire behind it, and then I had my Ford Escort I had at the time. And I'm like, I'm surprised. With everything that I would do that would piss my mom off, she never really had a problem with that. But it's like, it got to the point where I gotta get rid of this shit. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I had my black Camaro sitting in my driveway for years. Like,
that's right. Yeah, you had one of those grow house.
What happened was, because I would put like the high test gas in it, and it crept over $2 a gallon. I'm like, you know what? Because it would only get like 12, 15 miles a gallon anyway. I'll drive the car once it gets under $2 a gallon again. Well, pretty soon that wasn't happening anytime soon. And then it would just sat there, and then it put like a dent in the driveway, and then like bees made a home in it and everything. And before you know it, you can't drive it anymore, so we gave it to like Cars for Kids or something like that. And that was the end of it. And that was the official end of my coolness. I was, But I'll tell you what, now that I'm getting ready to move again, I miss the Camaro. Because say what you want, it was a hatchback, and you could move a lot of shit in a Camaro.
It was a nice car. I understand my car is what, 14 years old now? And I am not in any hurry to get rid of it. The repairs are still tolerable amount of money, but it's going to come to the time where I'm going to finally say, you know what, you're not up to stuff anymore. I mean, I hope that the next job I get is still like close by, because I've been blessed with really short commutes for most of my work life. But you know, if it got to be like a little too much, I might have to say it's time for a new vehicle. But it's like this one's fine. It works fine. Why would I?
If it works, yeah. I mean, the last Honda Element I had, I was ready to put almost $300,000 on it. The only reason I sold it was the tranny was going, and I just didn't want to spend about $3,500, four grand on something with about 300,000 miles on it. It broke my heart to sell that truck.
Typical right winger turns on the trannies. All right, let's move along. So, guys, you remember that house I told you about that we saw that was like 5 acres, had like a lot of deer poop on it, like beautiful property, had the first one that I told you about, but the wife thought the house was a little too small, so we didn't bid on it. Remember that?
Right.
Where it had like the buildings. So it recently closed. Guess how much over asking price it went for?
Oh, I'm afraid. With all that land?
Probably about 100.
Very good, Joe. 100. It went over 100 over asking.
Wow.
Damn.
But you know what's a good guess? Because if you think about it, on the house that we haven't accepted offer, we are over 50 over asking. So it's just a crazy market. Supposedly it's really hard for first time buyers right now, because I guess there's special loans that they get that a lot of the people selling, they're like, well, we don't have to wait for this shit. You know, people are paying us in cash, and there's no contingency, so it's really tough for them. It's not a lot of stuff on the market right now. So,
Well, wait.
What?
Is there any movement on Dream House?
Pip, would I bring things up if I didn't have a place to go with it?
I'm expressing my interest.
I appreciate that. But it's like the audience. Like, I had, like, the audience member. I was talking about something, and she's when last time I did the city, she's like, oh, you should talk about that. I'm like, I was going to. Don't you think I know what the fuck I'm doing up here? It's like they get, like, a bright idea, like, oh, we should help him out. He obviously needs a roadmap how to transverse these 10 minutes he has to talk to us. He's obviously at the point in his act, in his 10-minute set, where he's spitballing. This could be the time where we help.
Thanks, lady. I didn't know what I was going to do next.
I know. Listen, here's a little clue for comedy audiences. Never shout out shit unless the comic goes, okay, what should we talk about? What do you guys want to talk about? Because at that moment, that comic is fucking lost, and by all means, sink your fangs into them. Because if they're lost, they didn't prepare for this shit, and they're inviting your quote-unquote help. So have your way with it, boys and girls. But otherwise, we don't need your help. We got an idea the way this shit's supposed to go. This isn't our first rodeo.
No.
But all right. So after the show last week, when Pip made a cameo, when we saw Pip for the first time in over a year, and then she said, peace out, not coming back there again, I'm going to blow Mr. Helix and say I have a bad jaw. But after the show...
She could say you have a stomachache.
Well, she's got chest pain.
I'm telling the truth.
Pip is a truth teller, if nothing else. So after the show, we showed Pip both properties. Both properties, so Pip has a little bit of a better idea of what we are working with. So I believe last week we left off saying we had offers on both the Dream House and the Practical House. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we had two offers. So we decided to do another walkthrough of the Dream House. The outside is still an oasis. So inside, we first checked out the two wings downstairs. On the side where my studio would be, there's a full kitchen worth a working stove, oven, microwave, and fridge. The room that the studio would be in needs floor work, and we probably got to like lay down laminate or something. You got to do something for that, because right now the groundskeeper is living there, so it probably needs to be firebombed. But whatever the case.
The groundskeeper, my word, aren't you fancy moving to a fancy place?
I am. I'm glad you're finally fucking recognizing that. Now, what was not fancy, is that there was apparently a colony of mice living there, because they were next to the fridge. I didn't see any mice, but I saw quite a few droppings and a trap. So if I'm seeing that on a walkthrough, chances are there's more mice there than there is in Disney World. And
call them a colony like they came over on the Mayflower. You got a fucking mouse problem.
Joe, I don't know.
Look at this.
Joe.
Bandish mouse.
Joe, you're forgetting. You're forgetting. There's a brook in that backyard. It is very possible they did come over on something like the Mayflower, or at least like Cubans in a Volkswagen. I don't know how the mice got there, but they're living there now. And if you think about it, this house is in the woods. So if you really think about it, and I hadn't thought about the first time around, it's probably not the first time mice have moved in. You're probably going to have a little bit of a varmint issue in that house, which
right.
I was unaware of.
Yes. Mice and, dare I say it, rats really love screams.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You learn something new every day.
Well, that's why we keep Pip around. We keep Pip around for her knowledge and a shelter from a rainy day so we can nestle underneath her tits. Those are the two reasons why we keep
Pip around. Well, let me tell you a brief little story. My friend's husband used to love to go fishing in the little streams that we have around in northern New Jersey, southern New York. And he was just... You know, we'd wear the hip waders and go down the stream, and he was going down one stream, and he saw movement in the bank, and as he got closer, he realized it was a giant rat colony.
Oh!
Oh! Oh. I hate rats. They scare the shit out of me. I'm sorry.
Well,
and he walked further away from it, and he found another one.
Well, I don't know if that really means they love streams. It just means those rats love that stream. I mean,
No.
Okay.
There was another stream that was across the street from where I used to work for many years, and the lady who lived right next to the stream said that they had a problem, and they realized that they had a bigger problem than they knew about when they upended their couch to clean under it, and they found out that rats had eaten the bottom of the couch, and some of them were still there.
Well...
Hold on, how dirty is your house where rats live in your couch?
And you don't know.
No, this is a not a dirty person.
Listen.
This is not a dirty person.
I am going to defend the rodents. Why should they be any different than us? Everybody loves some nice waterfront property. Why should these guys be any different?
Right.
But I did not know that. That is actually good information. That is a reason not to live by a brook, a river, or a stream. So thank you, Pip. Good knowledge right there. I was unaware of that. All right. So then we went into the wing that would be my daughter's area. And she has a great room. She has a great room. But she wants a bathroom in there, which we could probably do. We'd probably take out one of the closets. And she has double doors to go into that room. So we would probably get rid of one of the double doors and build a bathroom there. Everybody fucking needs something. Everybody. Right. Nobody could just be happy.
And my bathroom is probably going to run you about $5,000.
All right. I was thinking 10. Five. So she wants that. Okay. So then we go upstairs. Now the living space, it's the square footage, I believe, is listed for like 3,300 and something. So pretty big. So you go upstairs, and the living room, the dining room, and the kitchen. There's your wow factor. I mean, Pip saw a little bit of it on the picture. It's hard to take it all in, but it's very open, very spacious, very well lit. It is just. It's amazing. Like, you wouldn't have to do anything with that. And the floors are great, too. Great hardwood floors, nicely polished. I guess the mice haven't gotten there yet. I don't know.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So then you go into the bedrooms. And it's amazing how when you go back and look at things, like the first time, you go, all right, that's not so bad. But then you go, oh, you come back, oh, that's a lot smaller than I remembered. So the bedrooms were small. So our bedroom would be about a push, meaning it would be like a lateral move, but we wouldn't have a walk-in closet. And the other bedrooms are even smaller, and one of them didn't even have a closet. So it's technically not a bedroom. So, and then the wife was walking around with the video this time, and she was like noticing like painting, like stuff that had to be done. Because now she's looking for shit that has to be fixed.
Right. And you know right. what? The thing about that is that when you start doing stuff, there's a lot of stuff under the surface. Give you an example with the floor. You're going to put a laminate floor. Sometimes you go down, the guy calls you. Yeah, we got this. We got to replace that. You're figuring going to lay out maybe, $1,500. Now it's turning into $3,000 because now he's got to put that wood. He's got to do that. You know. So it's always something. You know.
Yeah. So We felt good with our offer for asking price. You know, that my wife pointed this out the other day. We offered you asking price. Your other deal fell through because you got greedy. I believe they offered $50,000 over our highest. So they were like $60,000 over asking. And then the seller pulled out because had a bad feeling about the buyer, whatever. Was worried about how they were going to get it financed. Now there was contingencies, this, that, the other thing. So we have offered you asking. We have offered you what you've asked for. Really, you should take that. Yeah, but my wife pointed out, it's like, well, they're being greedy. Because if asking is not good enough, then raise your asking price.
Right.
But after seeing it, we're like, well, we're not. Because remember how I said before, I would, if I had more money to throw at it, I would throw it at it because I think it's worth more, this, that, the other thing. After doing the walkthrough, go, you know what? I'm comfortable asking. This is the very top of our range anyway. So
right.
I'm very comfortable. Like, I don't feel the need to go balls out because we figured we actually could get more money if we really wanted to get balls out and everything. And this house definitely has wow factors. The backyard is a wow factor. The living room, kitchen and dining room are amazing. But the bedrooms are kind of small and you don't have closet space. All right. So that was that. So then, our realtor tried to contact the realtor to like, hey, you know, what are you guys doing? Because you're like, you know, we have this offer in. Are you guys accepting the offer? And their realtor isn't responding. Is not responding. Then their realtor.
What is it? The entertainment business? Who's still in their house? Postal? Is Linda still in the fucking house?
We're gonna have to see a tape of the buyers before we can make a decision.
Linda's selling the house.
I'm sorry. The realtor's in a meeting right now. Would you like to leave a message? What are we fucking doing here? But yes.
Yeah, right.
So the realtor is not getting back, which is a very unprofessional thing to do from realtor to realtor. So then the realtor finally gets back and says, we're going to have it on the market through the weekend, meaning this past weekend. So again, you have an offer. You have somebody who's giving you exactly what you asked for. There's no contingency. We're not saying we have to sell our house. We're putting 20% down. We're ready to go. Let's do this.
Right.
So I was like, fuck these people.
And what it is, they got greedy again, or maybe, you know, they said, look, you know, the deal fell through. However, people are getting way over asking. Let's see what we can get. If nobody's coming up, they'll take the offer.
Yeah, right.
It's very nerve wracking when you make an offer. Like I said, when I made the offer on this house, she wanted to do another open house the next weekend. And I'm like, well, I guess that's that. And I lucked out because she liked me, and I got my offer in before this other guy. Because the other guy was like, well, I'll call you and stuff like that, and I'll let you know. My daughter, she's like, well, this other guy wants the house bad. So I went out because the guy was dragging his feet. And the guy got pissed off. Well, I was going to tell, but well, you wanted to drag. You see, the other guy, you know, here's the down payment. We'll get the paperwork drawn up now, so fuck you, you know?
Well, I mean, listen, these people clearly did not realize that the dream house had moved into the number two position. So at one point on Sunday, the realtor, our realtor calls their realtor and goes, you know, my buyer is still looking at other houses. So their realtor goes, you shouldn't say that. Bah, bah, bah. What do you mean you shouldn't say? What you think? We've had this offer in for 3 weeks. You've had the offer for 3 weeks. The first one fell through. We've offered you what you were asking for. You think we're just going to sit back in this market and wait on
bait?
Fuck
them.
Exactly.
Here's the offer. Are we going into contract? Or are we not going into contract? You know, and you know what? You want to know something for the seller's real estate agent to say, well, if you want to buy, well, quit dicking around. You want to make the sale, or you don't want to make the sale. Tell your client that. They have a hell of a lot of nerve.
All right. So on Monday, we had our septic inspection at the quote practical house, and Pip saw pictures of that. It's a very lovely house.
Really nice.
Has as the kids say, curb appeal. Has the old curb appeal, as the kids say.
Very important. Very important.
Sure, but, why not?
You know, when you come home, you want to know, you go, what the hell am I doing this for? And you pull up and go, oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, Joe, I thought it was my family, but if it's a nice shady tree in the front yard, so be it.
Stop it.
What am I doing this for? For the asphalt on my driveway. Those fellers did a great job. That's what I'm doing this for. Okay.
I used to come home. I like my house, except Joanne's car in the driveway. I like it better when it's not.
I like my house, except half the inhabitants. Maybe I could do a swap for the rats in that couch that Pip was talking about. That's a fair trade. You don't bother me, I won't bother you. Nobody goes in the bed but canned foods. Do we have a deal here?
But the first house I bought, we drove up and I went, we had looked at some real, real shitholes. And then I guess the realtor knew what he was doing. He saved this one for the end of the day. We drove up and I swear I could hear... Oh, and I went, wow. And I mean, there were some problems with that house. There was a lot of work to be done, but I just went, oh my God. And then we realized how much work needed to be done. So we offered, and it made sense at the time, we offered $10,000 under to be able to pay for the repairs that we had to do. And they said, nope, nope, nope. So we actually said, no, we're walking away. And we did, and they didn't get any other buyers. And their realtor sniffed around our realtor and said, you know, we would be willing to do that 10 under now. And we're like, ha! Knew it! So we went back and bought that.
Now it's 15 under, fuckers! It's 15 under now, and it's a 5 under for every day you guys don't agree.
I bought my house at list, and I knew what a bargain it was, and they thought, well, you can't make it, you can't do it. I go, I'll buy it at list. Well, lady, I can scrape Lincoln off of a penny. I also know when there is a flat-out bargain in front of me. off the paperwork. Let's get this going, you know. So, yeah. No.
Well, that market you were buying in is a little different than this market. This
a lot different, and that's what I'm saying. That's why they're dragging their feet.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So we did the septic inspection on Monday for the quote unquote practical house. And once again, you walk through and go, ha, these rooms are smaller than I remembered. What happened? Was I on mushrooms during the first time? I don't understand. Like in our little fucking little pea brains, we thought like one of the spare rooms was not only going to have the ping pong, but and my weights, but we're going to put a billiard table in there too. Probably can't put a billiard table in there, too. Probably just the ping pong and the weights. So, but still a very nice house. My wife really saw the potential for the backyard now. She was like, oh, this isn't what I thought. You know, oh, we could really do a lot back here. You know, everything involves money. We could do a lot means we can spend a lot. But anyway. So the septic guy's rooting around in the front. And they say, if the septic inspection goes quickly, it's usually because there's a problem. This was a quick inspection.
Oh no!
That could be a problem. My lead singer in my band, Joey, he was about to put a down payment on a house and stuff. They were almost going into contract and stuff like that. And you have to, in Jersey, you have to have a septic tank. And the guy did not disclose that it was a cesspool. And he's like, "Are you kidding me?" And I put a septic tank in. It's about $10,000 or something.
Nope. Well, I mean, a whole septic system is between $20,000 and $30,000 by the time, because you gotta bring an engineer in. They gotta bring the tank. They need leach fields. It's a whole fucking thing for your feces to live with you. It's a whole fucking production.
Yeah.
So he's like, "Yeah, I could just put my foot right through it." Like he's like it caved like right in. I guess he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Because the house was built in 1960." There's roots growing through the metal tank in there. He's like, it's filled to the top, but it was just cleaned March 25th, but I think that's groundwater, and they used a 5-gallon plastic bucket as a cap for the septic tank.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Why do people do these half-assed things in houses for like other people to stumble upon and go, you know,
but the problem is that you look at those problems and it's like, well, this is going to have to be fixed eventually because I got to get a CO. Like in my old house, when my mom was alive, we knew that the sill plate, which is the plate that goes on top of the cement, was ravaged by termites. And it was a termite problem, and you know, and I knew that when my mom was alive. So I owned that place about 25 years after that, and I knew that was going to be a problem. And it was. And thank God that my real estate agent, who was Joanne's cousin, she lent us the money to fix the problem, to pass engineering, and we would pay her back on the sale of the house.
So you have to remember on this house.
Something in the back of my mind for decades that I had to deal with that.
On this house. We have offered over $50,000 over asking. That's what. Because we had an escalation clause. Apparently, because it was on the market less than a week. So, like in a weekend of showings, they had four offers. That's what their realtor disclosed. So their realtor like had like a real like worried look, like oh shit. But she's like, relax. So she called the seller, and they're like, "Do you want us to fix it, or do you want us to give the money and you fix it?" But then that means we got to wait till closing, and we got to deal with all that shit after we move in, along with all the other stuff going on. Plus, if they give you, well, you know, we think it's going to be $20,000, and then as Joe likes to say, "But hold on, we have to show you something over here," then you have to pay for it.
It happened, dude. It happened. God.
So.
Through with the deck. You know, look, I gotta sit, which means you gotta bring your wallet with you.
So the seller is paying to do the septic tank because they were gonna have to. They're gonna move if they're gonna move it. So it works out for us if we buy this house.
Need the CO. You're gonna need the CO. That's part of getting a CO and getting an underwriting's gonna want to see that too.
But it works out for us now. Because now we have a brand new septic system, and those could be really expensive. And they last 20, 30 years. I don't think I'm going to be in that house 20, 30 years. So that works out for us. So tomorrow is the inspection. So we're going with our guy. So again, you know, listen, they said as is, but if there's something major, there's always room, especially when we're giving them way more than asking price. Like when we were talking to the inspector, he's like, you got to pick your battles. He's like, I guarantee you I'm going to find stuff that's wrong. There's always stuff that's wrong. You have to decide, though, are you going to bring everything up to the seller or just, you know, some of the really important stuff? So,
yeah, stuff in there, you know, like when my inspector came in, he said, you got probably another 3 years on the roof. One of the first things I did, I had the roof put on in the first year, laid out 10 grand. But I can tell you right now, I've got a roof that I'll be dead by the time they need this new roof. And I had a lot of roof problems because at my old house, my mom had the roof put on in 85. And that, you know, and that roof was getting to be like 30 years old, and we were having problems with it, leaks and stuff like that. So it's like, I know that this roof, brand, it's all like top of the GAF. And it's got all the insulation and all the other, so it pours like a bastard. And I know that I don't have to worry about leaks or any of that shit.
Yeah.
So the practical house had moved into the first choice, and the dream house had moved into the second choice because we did the math. And we figured all the stuff we want to do in the dream house, I mean in the practical house, it would still be cheaper than getting the dream house and all the improvements we had to make. So now, the wife wants to redo the kitchen. Because God forbid a woman look into a house where she doesn't want to redo the fucking kitchen. Chef Ramsay could design the kitchen. A woman walking up, no, it's dated. It's so last year. You women gravitate to redoing. Don't make your fucking face. Except you, who just wants a counter to leave focaccia chicken salad on. Every other woman.
That's why I find it interesting when people always go, well, a kitchen will add, you know, to the price of the house. But the only thing is that people are fickle about kitchens.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right now, everybody wants open.
I really don't like the cabinetry. I just got to put in, you know, Jesus Christ, you know. So that's why, you know, I mean, I wouldn't go, you know, you go crazy. But, you know, new kitchen probably going to run about 10 grand, 15 grand.
So the wife wants a new kitchen. Now, when we first...
More like 20.
When we first started looking at houses, a pool was like a no-no for my wife. She's like, I don't want a house with a pool. It's too much trouble. As we started to learn more about pools, now she wants a pool. So now we're talking about putting a pool with a nice deck in the house. Then the daughter chimes in. You know, she's already got a fucking suite, by the way. She's got a master suite. I don't know any other young teenage girls that have a bedroom with a bathroom in it. My kid does, but nothing's ever good enough for anybody. She wants us to landscape because at the dream house, one of the features it had was there was this whole like patio section where they had a built-in fireplace. Pip saw the pictures of that in the backyard. So now the daughter wants that. So everybody fucking wants something.
You're getting some fucking bricks on the ground with a chimney done.
You know what? Personally, I thought our fire pit worked one. I thought our fire pit was great last year. We got a stainless steel one, unlike the other ones that rust through after a year or two. The thing's big. I thought it did a great job. I'm taking it with me. But fine. You know what? If it makes them happy, fine. I don't give a shit.
It's just like when you have things you want to do when you move in, like the bathroom that's off my bedroom is pink.
Oh.
And it's got pink tile. And basically, I want to pull out the bathtub. I want to put a stand up stall in there, and I want to do the cabinet. I work in the business. I know everybody that sells this stuff at a discount, but it's like expensive. I don't have the money to do it. I go, maybe in another couple of years I might, but it's like, you know, it's what you want to do and what it costs day to day to live. You know,
listen, if it makes everybody happy, so the dream house was showing through the weekend. So it was supposed to be the sellers were going to make a decision on Monday. Again, it had turned into our backup house. We just got word today that they are going with a higher offer. So be it. You know, I think that I do like the wow factor of that house. I'm not going to lie. It would have been a lot more work to do.
It would have been. And I'm telling you right now, I think Pip might be agree. You're not finding the house that you want because the house you want is not ready yet. And I could. You'll know.
No. We're gonna get this house.
I went house hunting almost every weekend, and we find. But you know, this place we pulled. Done. This is the place.
No. The wife is excited now. The wife is excited. She sees the possibility. Because there's like a little pond thing in the backyard with lily pads. So now we're already talking like we got to put like the treatment in to get rid of the pond scum, and we have to build get a bubbler or something so you don't get the mosquitoes. So she's already planning that. And there's stairs that go up to the hill because there's a hill in the backyard. So we just have to beat back some of the landscaping because the stairs are in good condition. Now she's really excited. My daughter's not excited because she wanted the other house, but she'll be fucking fine. Outside of her house, she's gonna have ping pong, which she enjoys, and you know, when she moves back in college, she's got a separate entrance over there. She'll be fine. Everybody will be fine. My wife's very happy because this has a wood fireplace. So a wood burning fireplace, not a wood fireplace. That'd be a hazard. But
oops.
But now the
he's
new thing.
Through them. Never work. And the insurance company pissed again.
Well, now the new thing is, because it's an electric oven and stove, now, because we can't get natural gas over there, we can't get natural gas on that side of the mountain. So now she's talking about, well, maybe we should get a gas stove that's powered by propane in case, you know, there's a power failure or something. There's always fucking worst case scenarios. Always.
Yeah, but make sure the igniters are not electric, because I used to have propane, and when the original stove used to have a pilot light that was always on. So when the power would go out, the pilot light's on running off that, and you can cook. When I replaced the stove, it had electronic igniters. It's running off propane, but there's no igniter.
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh. Yeah.
Pip, send that to me in a note when you're giving me my other notes that I have to bring up to the wife. That's a good note. Now here's an interesting thing, and then we'll move on. We'll take our break. So, the house was listed as having a drilled well. We've never had septic before. We've never had wells before. We've never had oil before. So these are all things that we have to deal with. But we're looking around the property, and there's no well. And no, I don't think it's like something from Little House on the Prairie where there's like a big well, or where like that little fucking doofus kid is going to fall down there. I know that's not what these wells are. But you see something, yeah, like something sticking out that says, well, but we didn't see it on the property. So now the realtor comes, and she's like, yeah, I don't know where it is. She goes, I just wrote it as drilled well. She just made shit up. So she calls the seller, and there's something.
What?
What do you want me to tell you? What? I don't make the rules, Pip. Don't give me.
I just don't understand. Like I lied in the listing.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, no, Pip. You're wrong. It seems like you do understand. It seems like you understand perfectly well enough.
No, I do get it. Well, I guess I should say I just don't like it.
I don't like it either. I don't like it.
Well, don't forget, well water is hard water, so it's going to be, you know, everything's going to be taking in.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, Mr. Curry, any water that gets to touch this body is hard water. Okay? Let me tell you.
Oh, God.
But it's going to be a bitch on your appliances. It's going to be a bitch on your washing. You know, you have to get a filtration system in.
Well, here's what we have. It's not a drilled well. It's not through the town. It's not through like a water company. It's something called a community well. Have you ever heard of this community? So, like, I guess, like, a bunch of people chip in the community chip in for this well. Guess how much that costs a quarter?
How much?
Oh.
I said guess, Joe. That's how this works.
What do you mean a quarter? $120.
Go. What do you think, Pip?
I was going to say more like $200.
$452 a quarter for this community.
Damn!
Well.
Bail on the house. That's crazy.
You know, it's a little bit more. But remember, I'm not going to have to worry about septic or anything. I don't have to pay for sewer, so because we have the septic, and we're going to have a brand new septic tank. So it's going to be a little bit more. But then my neighbor's telling me, he's like, well, you got to be careful is when there's a drought, because sometimes they dry up. So you got to find out about that. So I do have to find out what's going on with this thing. Like, who maintains it,
yeah,
and everything.
For $400 a month, you shouldn't have to.
No, not a month, Joe. Joe, not a month. $452 a quarter. So it's every 3 months.
I'm sorry. But still, that's for water, you know.
No, Water and sewer?
Well, the, well, it has nothing to do with the, it has nothing to do with the sewer. It just so happens we're getting a brand new septic system, so I don't have to pay for sewer. So if you think about it, if you're a municipality, you have to pay the water company and the sewer company. That's what most people pay.
It's $150. Yes. It's $150 a month, which I think for that is too much.
Well, they are going. We are going to win that. Much like me at the buffet, Rosenblatt's always come out on top because they do not realize my teenage daughter can take a 45-minute hot shower like nobody's fucking business.
Oh boy. Well, you know what? Not with your new sewer system, she can't. You're used to sewers. Now you have septic. There's no more 45-minute showers, son.
Why?
Nope.
Why?
Because it will overwhelm your septic. You have to be more conservative with your water usage.
I will not. I will be liberal with my usage.
Well, then you're going to have poop lawn.
No, you're not going to have poop lawn. That goes in the tank. It's not going to float out.
You know, but that $150 a month, it's just, like I said, you know, it's part of a monthly payment. Everything is part, you know, it contributes to the monthly payment. And, you know, now there's $150 added to this, you know, and, you know.
It winds up being like a couple hundred dollars more than I'm spending now. If you do the septic and the water and everything, it winds up being, you know, listen, everything's septic up here unless you live in the town. That's just the way it is. Unless you live in the town center, everything is septic. So, and remember,
yeah,
I can't
it's,
leave
it's
this town.
It's also code in Jersey, too. So it's like, you know, if you got a cesspool, you got to rip it out.
Well, this isn't a cesspool.
You know?
This isn't a cesspool. But, you know,
I
have to.
I know, it's a septic system, but, you know.
Listen.
But you have it, you know, but. I don't know. There's just, you know, because now it's $150 for water.
You pay an HOA that won't let you. You pay an HOA that where you have to grill like your Anne Frank. What are you talking about?
There's always a trade-off.
Yeah.
There's always something.
Nobody gets out clean. They always get you somehow.
Yeah.
There's always friggin' something with houses.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Listen.
Oh yeah. Like I said, I gotta get I had to fix my heating over the winter, and I haven't turned my AC on, but I'm very nervous about it. It should be okay, but I want to get a guy to do a tune up on it just to make sure.
Sure.
Because it just scares. Because I'm at the point right now where I don't know. You know. I'm here 4 years and a couple of weeks, so I don't know what's worked. You know, things are starting to creep up, and I at the old house, good, bad, and I knew everything that had to be done, if I'm doing it, if I'm not, what it costs, blah, 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 blah. Here, I'm still figuring it out. I mean, like I said, with the heat going, you know, that cost me about $3,000 to get that all worked out, you know, so.
All right. So that's where we are. I will let you guys know. I hope this is entertaining. I try to make this shit entertaining. Because I know, there's another talk show in New York, a sports show, where the guy talks about his new house. And it's not fucking entertaining at all. But they're a sports show. But they're trying to be like shock jocks, but not shock jocks. It's like, just talk sports, motherfuckers. So I try to make this somewhat entertaining.
Anybody that's been looking for a house and it would be interesting. I remember Vinny D'Agostino. Vinny and I were buying and selling our houses at the same time. So when we would hang out at a party or we'd be at the club, that's all we ever talked about.
Oh, yeah. Any homeowner or someone who, especially people who want to be homeowners in the future, they need to learn about rat couch and poop lawn, because these are the things that you have to look for and be wary of when you're looking.
Well, you have to know
what to put up with and what not to.
Well, we are going to take our first break, and I'm going to run upstairs and inform the wife about rats in the water and electric starters for gas stoves.
One quick thing, and after you get through all that, people don't understand the underwriting department. Well, they'll come. Yeah, you just spent $10 at 7-Eleven last week. Why? Getting caught in the paper. Okay.
Yes.
All right. You know, and if anybody's gone through under it, you know I ain't fucking around.
All right. Well, this shit ain't HGTV, but we will keep it moving, and I will let you kids know what happens next week. On the break, we got new music from Teutronic with Rhythm to Dance, and you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. And we have new music from Sean X with Triple X, and you can learn more about him at fluttertone.com. When we come back, it ain't easy being a transgender neo-Nazi, but it might just keep you out of jail. And if you remote learned in North Carolina at a certain school, they don't want you at the prom. And Joe had a very strong take on that he wrote about. And you should not trade your black friends like they're trading cards. And we got a lot more to do. A lot more to do. So stick around. You are listening to Davin's Den. Enjoy the music while I inform the wife about all this shit.
This is a rhythm. This is a rhythm made to dance. Prepare your body to move. Get up on your feet right now and then.